Hey, you, what are you doing over there? Just sitting on the bus or walking on the treadmill or sitting in a cubicle, just trying desperately to get through some crappy computer work you don't want to be doing. Data entry. Oh, God. It's like brain diarrhea. But here we are, the Nerdist Podcast. We're going to bail you out. You know why? Because we love you so hard. We just love you so much. Oh, my God. We love you so much. I just love you so much. But I love Go To My PC by Citrix a little bit more because they're sponsoring the Nerdist Podcast this week. Yay! Welcome back, guys. With Go To My PC, you can access your entire Mac or PC on your iPad or your iPhone. I mean, literally every file, everything you need. It's super convenient, super reliable. It's really easy to use. You can work on any program. You can save and edit, send any file from anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are, as long as you have your smartphone or your iPhone or your iPad. So what you're going to want to do is go to my PC today. Go to mypc.com, special 30-day free trial just for Nerdist listeners. You click the Try It Free button, then you enter the promo code Nerdist, and then you download the free app to your iPad or your iPhone, and then you have your computer wherever you are. I travel a lot. It is an invaluable tool to be able to do that. That is go to mypc.com, try it free, enter the promo code Nerdist. And now this episode of the Nerdist Podcast. This episode we recorded shockingly long time ago, back in January, I think. I'm not going to bore you with what happens or the ironically low tech that we have when we record the podcast. But we record the show at E at the G4 building. And the radio studio that we use still works off of CDs. We don't own it, so we're not going to go in and try to outfit it with new equipment. But the mics are so sweet. So we put stuff on CDs. And sometimes CDs get mismarked. And then I get these weird blank CDs, and then I'll be going through piles and be like, what is this CD? Oh, it's an episode that should have gone up months ago. So that's what happened to poor Billy Eichner, who, by the way, is phenomenally hilarious. If you haven't seen Billy on the Street, you should. It's the Funny or Die show. It's also on Fuse on Thursday nights. So check him out at Billy Eichner, E-I-C-H-N-E-R. Absolutely hilarious. And he was really great on the show. So here we are, the Nerdist Podcast number 211. Although it really should have been like 170. With the wonderful Billy Eichner. Sorry this went up later than it should have, Billy. I'm really sorry. Beat myself up a little bit. Oh, ow. Oh, I'm punching myself. Punching myself in the fucking face. Stop laughing at me.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Improve restaurants or bars.
Hello, that seems to be working. Matt,
how are you?
Is this on?
You are on now.
Great,
Mr. Eichner.
He's always on.
Hello.
Good. Let's. I know the mic stand's sort of broken. I don't know if we have any extra headphones.
Here's a set of headphones over.
I don't need them. I don't need them.
Those are way broken. Forget it.
I don't need them.
Yeah, me.
Can
either.
You hear me now?
I can hear you.
Now still?
Yeah. I can
yeah.
Really
okay.
Hear you. Yeah.
You're can you hear me now?
Can't.
Okay, that's weird. So I'll stay away from the mic.
Yep.
You might have to get a tad closer to the mic. I'm so sorry. You have to just be on. These are.
We can move it up. We can do lots of things with it.
Maybe these are classic radio mics, Billy,
awesome.
Where they DJs practically have to fillet the microphone to get that bassy tone.
It's like Jack Parr.
It's exactly like Jack Parr.
He had to fillet the microphone.
That's exactly.
Classic
they didn't,
moment.
That's actually why Carson took over. He was just doing that on the Tonight Show.
This is the last episode, just like
blowing microphone.
Just forcing his own
lodged,
head down
lodged
onto the microphone.
In his throat.
Well, those 60s microphone, those like long stick mics.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I try to keep your mouth off those.
The Barker?
I dare you. I fucking dare you. Yeah, why would he still...
The Barker.
That's have,
the
we have microphone. Lav mics.
Nope, doesn't need it.
All right.
He puts a lav mic
I use
on
a mic
very
that's
long...
attached to the camera, too.
You do, but that's...
But that's part of the choice.
Price is Right is a multi-million dollar production.
That's true. So, well, we are not. That's for sure.
Yeah, but there's that certain kind of sound you get, the kind of blown out sound.
Yeah, I mean, that's. I started doing my YouTube videos, and literally that's what we could afford. We went to Radio Shack, and we got the cheapest mic, and it has to plug into the camera because it's cheap, and now we just use that even though we're on television.
First of all,
Fuse and Radio Shack are kind of the same thing.
Yeah, they're both like, they're still there, huh?
You can get your programming. You can also get some transistors.
You're like, why does Radio Shack still exist?
I'm going to go into Fuse and get a male to female adapter.
Fuse is still on.
Yep. A YY coax.
Fuse is basically a male to female adapter.
Hey, listen, I work at G4. I understand.
No, I love Fuse. I seriously do. I just like making fun of them.
It's fun. It's fun to me. I mean,
you have to make fun of your network.
I do the same thing. Dude, I did the same thing at G4.
What the fuck is that?
What? It's just a universal phone charger that I borrowed from G4.
It's a little obscene.
It is, but you know, look, you got a micro USB port, a mini USB port, you got your iPhone adapter right there.
All right.
I'm glad we're talking about this.
Should I review it?
Yeah, you want to?
3 out of 5.
Great. Thanks. Oh. Thanks for being here.
Like live Yelp. That should be a TV show.
I give this place 2 stars.
That's about what Fuse can afford, I think.
Live Yelp should be just called, here's what this asshole thinks.
Yeah. And you're right out in front of it. Yeah. For whatever it's worth, Yelp does make me feel better sometimes.
It's worth nothing.
Yeah, but it makes me feel better that there is. Because let's be honest, the internet is society's complaint desk. So it's nice.
I like using Yelp, particularly just to watch an episode of Kitchen Nightmares and then see if the restaurant's still around.
Wow.
Always, it's always never still around.
You have a lot of time.
I do.
I don't know where he finds time to do all this stuff.
I mean, that takes
third
a dedication.
Season of Kitchen Nightmares, 0 of the restaurants are still open.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, Billy, let's talk about you instead of Kitchen Nightmare.
Yeah,
unless
exactly.
You're a Kitchen Nightmares fan, in which case...
I've never even been in a kitchen.
All right, good.
Have you had a nightmare?
Yes.
It was too hot. I got out.
Yeah. Where's your... what is your background? Would you have an improv background?
You know, I kind of do, but I started late in the game. I grew up in New York, and I, you know, went to high school in Manhattan, so I was really like a New York kid, I guess. But I, you know, I considered myself like an actor. I was a child actor in New York. I went to auditions. I did that whole thing. I didn't do much, but I did. I wasn't a comedy. When I was 12, I was really, really fat. I was like just a big, obese, fat, gay Jewish kid. And I'm
stereotypical.
Yeah, exactly. And I played John Goodman's son in a sketch on SNL when I was
13
because I looked like John Goodman.
Awesome.
Do you remember, this is going back a while.
King Ralph, when he hosted King Ralph?
What was he promoting? You know, it might have been King Ralph.
Because he did promote
it. Or it was...
The Babe?
The Babe.
Yeah.
The Babe, yeah, when he played Babe Ruth, I think. And it was some sketch where he played, there was a judge at the time, like a real judge, who had impregnated all these women with his sperm without telling them. And so
me and my 75 kids.
Me and my 75 kids, raising 75 kids isn't easy. Takes a lot of sperm and a lot of heart. All the sperm in the world couldn't tear us apart. It takes more than sperm, it takes heart. So basically, I remember that.
That was a great sketch.
Yeah, it was so the point of the sketch was that, I don't know if anyone wants to hear this, but the point of the sketch was that the judge was sentenced to starring in a sitcom with all of his kids.
So
it was like me and 19 other like fat, sweaty, gross kids playing this judge's children in this sketch with SNL, and Dana Carvey was in it, and I was like 12 or 13. I was like blown away, you know? And so I thought of myself as an actor who did comedy, and I sang a lot, so I did some musicals. And then I graduated, went to Northwestern, graduated, went back to New York, and wasn't doing anything. And then that's when I went to UCB and started doing some stand-up and writing my own shows and then doing these videos, which went on YouTube, and now I have this weird TV show.
Who are your guys at UCB?
Who were my teachers?
Yeah.
Paul Scheer was one of my teachers.
Yeah. Who's in our grades? Anyone that's popped off lately?
Who were in my classes? I don't think there's any, like big star. In
so
my
you're doing the best. Well done.
Yes, thank you. But Aziz was performing at UCB a lot in those days. Like Kristen Shaw and I went to Northwestern together, and her and Kurt were performing like at the Pit in those days, and
the People's Improv Theater.
People's Improv Theater, right, in New York. And so we were all coming up together. I was doing a live show called Creation Nation, which was like a live talk show that I hosted, like my version of Conan or whatever, but live. And these Men on the Street videos we did as a segment in that show, we would toss to like one of these videos, and it would be a 3-minute video of me running around the street asking about celebrities and getting really frantic. And that turned into this TV show that Funny or Die is producing on Fuse.
That's been, and you're also doing a bunch of stuff with Conan, too.
I am. I just did Conan for the first time, which was crazy and also blew my mind. And then they called me, and now I'm going to cover the Super Bowl for Conan.
Oh, that's awesome.
Next weekend. So I'm going to Indianapolis for a bunch of days, and we're going into all kinds of we get into like the Playboy party and the Maxim party, and I'm gay, so it's really useless. But like, it'll be fun.
Think of the snacks that'll be there.
Oh yeah, exactly. No, I'm excited. I like the game, and we're gonna be on the field for the halftime show and tailgating and all kinds of crazy stuff.
So that's the modern day dream of like, hey, I'm funny. I'm just going to start making videos. Oh my God, now I'm on Conan and I have my own show based on the videos
I made.
It didn't
happen overnight. You know, I was making these videos in 2005.
Oh, never mind then.
And so, no, I mean, I'm not complaining at all. I'm just saying, you know, it still took time.
7 years. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, that is gross.
No, I think that's...
No, I'm not complaining at all.
I think it's great. I love that. I mean, again, you know, it's just... That this platform has just leveled the playing field.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I have this show only. I mean, it sounds silly, but whatever success I have is because of Facebook. Like, I posted my videos on Facebook, and that's where they were shared, you know, via YouTube. And that's what it took to like show Hollywood that like people liked me, because I was a little bit out there and crazy and loud. And then all of a sudden I didn't know anyone at Funny or Die. And one day about, I don't know, a year and a half ago, I got an email from Mike Farah, who's the head of production at Funny or Die. Amazing, amazing dude. And he just said, I love what you're doing. If you're ever in LA, come and talk to me if you have ideas. And I had this game show idea, and I went and I talked to him, and he gave me some money to sort of make a sample version of what that would be in terms of turning my videos into a game show. And it worked. But it took a guy like Mike to like find me. You know,
and how's that? And then the Funny or Die, did that really kind of blow shit up after
yeah,
that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think Funny or Die, people love Funny or Die. Obviously, it's Will Ferrell and Adam McKay's company. And, you know, for someone like me who was, you know, who is very kind of an oddball and loud and not necessarily like in the mainstream, like, I think having Funny or Die say, hey, we like this guy, we think people will like this guy, meant a lot, you know. And it's just, it's great to have their support, and they're amazing to work with. I mean, they're great guys.
What was it? So what was it like? I mean, like when you were, you know, 12-year-old gay Jewish kid in New York.
Mm-hmm. Fat gay Jewish kid.
Oh, I'm sorry. Really? Yeah, I left out that part. Did you like what? How did you fit in at all with the other kids? Or did you feel like, because of comedy, I feel like I'm a little different than other kids?
I'm weird because I felt very different from other kids, but I just didn't give a shit. Like, I just kind of made everyone deal with me.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I guess because you're in one of the great things about growing up in New York is that you're not like on a farm somewhere. You know, everyone there, even if they hate Jewish people or fat people or gay people, they have to deal with you. You're like all on the subway together. You know, you're commuting together. You're going to movies together. You're just forced to deal with people. And I think in a weird way, I think that really led to what I do now on the street. Because I think you see so many different types of people on the show that I go up to. It is New York. It's a very diverse group of people. And I think growing up like that just made me a little fearless in a way in terms of going up to anyone.
Yeah, that is a unique comedy gene to have, because I always feel so bad like running up to people like, oh, I'm so sorry, we're just doing this thing. Like, I cannot run up to people like in sort of a heightened character and then just run away. Right. I would always have to
I'm
stop
not
and
sure
apologize.
How I do it, or I don't know. if you know me in real life, I'm actually very laid back. You know, like, I don't know. I just thought the persona, sort of the comic persona I was doing, and this is kind of, I don't know, boring and insidery, but the comic persona I was doing on stage in my live talk show was this over-the-top, very celebrity, pop culture obsessed person who had a love-hate relationship with his own obsession with pop culture, not to get too heady about it. And I just liked taking that outside. The original idea for the videos, is this boring?
No, it's fascinating because I think it's a very, I think it's a very hard character to do because the fine line that you walk is it's either hilarious or it's like horrible and annoying.
Right.
And
exactly.
You manage to do it and it's funny. But you could, you know, where you can run up to a woman and she was like, I'm getting married next weekend. Oh, fuck you. And then right.
But honestly, though, fuck her. Like, who the fuck cares? I'm so sick of people getting married and telling me about it. Like, straight gay, I don't care. Just shut the fuck up and don't make me go to your goddamn destination wedding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Always the worst fucking thing. Like, I'm going to spend my money on going to the islands to hang out with your parents.
That's exactly what I had to fucking do. It's the fucking, no one was happy. No one enjoyed it.
No one is happy. That's not a vacation. No. You know, like, most people can only afford one vacation a year, and you're going to make them spend money on the fact that you met someone that is going to dump you in a few years. Like,
it's really giving them a chore to say, like, we're going to get married in, you know, wherever, and the Cayman Islands.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, and just like nice. When I talk to people, the same thing I had to do. It's like, you're like, oh, Jamaica, that's going to be cool. I'm really going to try and see if I can take at least a little bit of the culture and try and see what in this place I've never been to before. But no, you fucking get there and you're shuttled over to a fucking resort that could be anywhere in the fucking world, and it doesn't matter where you are.
Oh, yeah, because you're in this insulated resort thing, so
you're
it's
just
not...
You're just seeing white people everywhere. What's the fucking difference? Why'd you go to another country?
Exactly. And then you have to bring a gift on top of it.
I want to see what white people look like in a different climate.
No, they still look the same.
A little more red.
Sweatier.
They're a little sweatier.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry to go off on weddings.
No,
sorry.
Please.
I just had to do that.
I got an invite, and if they hear this, they're going to hate me, but I got an invite from some... you know, fucking gay couple inviting me to this island wedding. I literally don't know them. I met them at a club once, like 3 years ago. Now they're inviting me to Jamaica or some horrible island.
That's where I had to go.
Leave me out of it.
Yeah. I get excited every time. Like, it's like someone's like, oh, we're getting married. And I go, heh. And then like, it's in downtown LA. I go, fuck yeah. Because that's just a party. Yeah. Then you're just going to a party.
That's how I feel about weddings in New York. Like, I'm happy to go to a wedding in Manhattan. I am not going to Queens or Brooklyn or Jamaica.
When you get the invite, when you get a wedding invite, you do have that like, oh, like you get a little like diarrhea cramping. Oh, I have to go sit in a thing and why is this going to be long? And it's, you know, and cause I, you know, I'm completely narcissistic, but I have some friends who did the best thing ever. They were together for a long time. They invited everyone to their wedding, which was at their house, here in LA. And when you showed up, they walked out once everyone got there and they go, hey, we just got married a couple days ago, so this is just a big party. Everyone
that
have fun.
Is awesome.
No ceremony, no nothing. It was just a fucking party.
That's a story that Steve Martin, well, last time he got married, he had like a big dinner party, and then in the middle of the dinner party, he's like, hey, just let everybody know, we just got married.
Boy, I got to name drop Steve Martin. Jeez,
it's just a story I read, Billy.
Oh, you got a name drop.
Let me tell you about my good buddy, Ernest Hemingway.
You got a name drop that you're a reader.
Yeah.
Oh, well done. You know what? So some of us can't read here. Great for you.
It was People Magazine. It's not really reading.
Have you ever done the crossword in like People or Us Magazine? Like if you're on a plane and someone leaves it in the thing and you open
or
it
you
up.
Or you bought it.
No, what are you? What are you talking about?
Yeah, when you buy all your magazines.
But they're literally just the worst fuck. It's like a tiny grid of maybe like 10 blocks, and it'll be like, Siskel and Ebert blank the movies.
And then everything
Yay,
else is just
I'm
Madonna.
Smart.
All the other answers are Madonna.
Yeah. R.I.P. Siskel, by the way.
R.I.P. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes. And yes.
And they've been on for a while. Yeah. Sometimes I go on the internet and I have a lot of time. YouTube reviews of like Back to the Future.
So do
that they
I.
Do.
You do really?
I have watched Siskel and Ebert reviews on YouTube. You watch one and you have to watch like 50.
And then I'm like watching them review like The Empire Strikes Back because they've been on forever.
Yeah.
I know Roger's not dead, but he just had the thing.
Yes. RP his voice.
Is not dead. Yeah.
He might
RP
well.
His voice.
Hey, guys.
Oh, he's around. Hey. Nope.
Oh.
Nope.
Not good.
I got his memoir for Christmas.
How was it?
First part's really red.
Really rude? Thanks, Good. Scooby. Do you think Mr. Carruthers, the head of the...
He's, you know what? He's probably under... He's got a mask on, probably.
Ruh-roh. Do you like Sudoku?
Sudoku? You know, I've never played Sudoku.
It's not a, you know, it's number puzzle.
It doesn't make me feel smart, tell you that.
But just
like Deanna plays it on her iPad and I look at it again.
Yeah, no, like once you figure out the patterns. Yeah, once you figure out the patterns.
Math, and I don't like math.
It's not math-ish. It sort of is.
I like playing words with black friends.
Word.
There you go.
Word with friends.
Yeah.
I like playing black words with friends. It gets really racist.
I like playing serious black words with friends. It's just all Harry Potter words. And I play with 12-year-old girls.
There you go.
Yeah. Nice. Someone isolate that, please.
On their ice pads.
Just the I play with 12-year-old girls. And
I really wish you wouldn't do that.
Please
my don't do
my
that. I'll give you another ringtone.
I'll give you a ringtone.
Thanks, Chris.
Fuck yourself, Matt Myra.
Oh, I'll take it.
Are you techie at all? Do you play with...
I have a computer.
Nice.
That's as far as that
goes. Do you edit all your own stuff?
I don't actually press the buttons, but I'm in the room for everything, and I oversee all the editing.
Yeah, what I was telling him earlier is that the editing on his show, it's something that Deanna also pointed out, is spot on. It's perfect. It's just it moves, the way it hits the angles. The cameraman also... really on their game,
yeah.
Which is, I imagine, just so hectic, just the
it
running.
It is,
and
honestly, there's a whole show to be made about the making of Billy on the Street, because what goes on... What
Bravo,
you see
Bravo
on,
show.
What was that?
That's a Bravo show.
Oh, yeah, what happens to Billy live?
I'm kidding, I love Bravo. Hi, Andy Cohen. What was I going to say?
Recently on an episode, that guy said, we got a question from Mary from La Khalif, L.A., California.
No. Yeah,
yes.
No.
We showed it on the suit.
That is amazing.
Tracy from La Khalif.
That's amazing. I'm doing that show in a few weeks.
Oh, really?
Excited.
Watch what happens.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
You see Ray Fiennes on there?
Yeah.
Creepily freeballing in some pajamas.
What?
Yeah.
Very strange. Ray Fiennes has been on that show a couple of times. It's odd. I mean, I love Ray Fiennes. Don't get me wrong, but...
I do too, but I'm just not sure his career supports the level of eccentricity that he has.
Yes, exactly.
Like, if it were Nicholson, I'd be like, of course.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, Ralph Fiennes is
you fucked cocaine. You get to do whatever you want. You're crazy.
He's a good actor, but I don't think he gets to go on shows in pajamas.
It was a pajama show.
Oh, okay.
But, like, he revealed that he wasn't wearing underwear underneath the pajamas.
Fine. No, that's
but then
fine.
Got real like got really creepy about
Maggie
it.
Maggie Smith doesn't wear underwear either.
Oh, nice. Sweet.
Talk about Downton Abbey. Huh?
Upstairs, downstairs.
Yeah, I'll go Downton on Maggie Smith.
I heard there's hardwood floors down there, you guys.
I hope.
What the?
What the hell were we talking about?
We were talking about how well your show is edited, and I think, you know, with anyone who kind of sets off on their own to do a thing, which you did, it is tremendously helpful that every party involved has the same vision for the thing that you're making.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to, it's a little bit of a dice roll, because you don't know if the camera guy is going to be good or if the editor is going to get comedy or anything.
Yeah, it's hard, and, you know... I have to say, like, you know, I love making fun of Fuse, but they have been incredibly supportive, you know, from the beginning in terms of just sort of realizing that I've been doing this for years online and not trying to tamper with it.
Yeah.
And letting me, they've let me have like a crazy amount of creative control over the show. So I'm very grateful
to
them
for that. So is it Funny or Die, the production company, or is it Gary Sanchez?
Funny or Die.
Okay.
Yeah. Funny or Die is the production.
And how involved are they creatively? Are they just supplying the production?
I edit the show at Funny or Die.
Okay.
Yeah, so we shoot in New York, and then I've been out here the past few months at the Funny or Die offices/studio in L.A., which is the first floor of a building in which Gary Sanchez is the second floor.
Yes.
So they're very close together. But Mike Farah, who is the head of production at Funny or Die, is one of the exec producers on the show, and my office is right next to his. I'll call him in and say, hey, look at this. Is this funny? I can't tell anymore. And just all that. And Funny or Die is great because, first of all, it's a crazy place to work.
Well, everyone's fucking nice. Like, it's everyone's shockingly cool. Yes. And yeah. Just...
And so happy to be working and working long hours. Like, you know, they have a lot of like college interns and people new to the business and new to LA. And it's an incredibly supportive environment. These kids are so happy to be there. I'm happy to be there. And then you walk in and it's Funny or Die. You know, their sort of bread and butter is celebrity videos. And you never know who's going to show up. So the other day, I came back, and all of a sudden there was a bed in front of my office and a young African-American girl sleeping in it. And I went to one of the guys who works, and I said, who is this young black girl sleeping outside my office? And they said, oh, that's Mike Tyson's daughter.
Oh.
And Mike Tyson was around the corner from my office in full drag doing a Tyler Perry.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
And then the next, and you heard that, like, you know, girlish Mike Tyson voice. Then he walks out in, like, full drag, and his daughter's sleeping there. The whole, it's so surreal. And the next day I got there, and I was like, what's that big truck in the parking lot? And they were like, oh, Nickelback is here. You know, it's just like a surreal.
Funny or Die has really managed to do some. I mean, like, when Funny or Die, even though it's only been a few years ago, but when they came about of all those, so many huge companies were like, we're going to make a comedy video website.
Like Super Deluxe.
And I think Sony did one. Like, there were a handful of companies that launched their comedy web channels.
Right.
And all of them are gone,
like,
except
Crackle.
For Crackle.
They all have these names. I think Crackle might still be around.
Crackle's still around.
Crackle's, as a site, I don't think as a video content creator. And same with Adam, where it just kind of became Comedy Central's like thing, exactly. As opposed to its own
College entity. Humor's still around, but Funny or Die is really... Funny or Die was really one of the ones that was like, oh shit, they actually did it right, and they have it down.
But College Humor makes a lot of their money off of their t-shirt sales and stuff like that. Oh. Like, they have their Busted Tees, I think, or Snork Tees is them.
Wow.
And they, like, it's like a lot of income comes from that stuff. And just like Funny or Die, it's those videos they do as sponsored videos.
Yeah, they're branded videos.
Yeah. Not to I don't want to take us back too far in the internet time machine, but I did friend the Snork t-shirt girl on MySpace.
Really?
Whatever. I mean, so I don't mean to name drop.
I'm more of a Busted Tee girl kind of guy, but, you know,
Which one stole Fatstronaut?
I don't know, actually.
It was one of those two.
One of those two did.
Funny or Die has a great community of where they're just they're doing their celebrity videos to get attention, and then they get the deals for the sponsored videos, but then they let the guy who's working there do whatever they want. So they got guys like Danny Jelinek, doing just like the weirdest, most like visually stunning stuff. And you got Scott Gardner doing Tiny Fuppets and all that weird, awesome stuff that he does.
Drunk History is huge.
I just did Clip Cup.
Oh yeah, you did. With those guys are awesome.
So amazing. Those guys were fucking great.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah, those guys are great. Eric Appel did stuff.
Eric Appel was there for now. Now he's off doing, you know, TV and movies.
I mean, it really is. It's like that place is a nesting ground for the future stars
it's kind of like what SNL is on TV. But it just, but more people have access to it.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Did you take classes with Appel?
With Appel?
Yeah, were you guys around the same time?
I never took classes with him. No. Who were my, we said Paul Scheer.
Paul Scheer.
Rob Hubbell was at UCB a lot in those days. Michael Delaney, Mike Delaney.
Yeah.
Sean Conroy.
Sean Conroy's great.
Love Sean.
He was my first teacher, my first improv teacher ever.
Nice.
Sean's great. And a fantastic stand-up, too.
Yeah.
Sean Conroy. We did super.
You can do all the NPR voices very well. I love that bit.
So do you want to do more live stuff, or are you more focused on doing TV, or do you want to do film? Do you want to be an actor? What do you want to do?
Yeah, no, I just want to do fucking porn, like crazy amounts of porn.
That you could.
I could.
That'd be really funny if you started this whole YouTube channel, but you still couldn't understand how you could just go do porn. Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
this was a launching pad, like, getting fucked on camera.
I thought I was making videos on YouPorn. That's where I thought I was
making
videos.
That's where, like, most of the original Billy on the Street stuff is on YouPorn right now. I just uploaded it weirdly.
I was on XTube last night, and... there's this eggplant thing you gotta see.
Oh, that's great.
It?
Yeah, I don't even know what was happening in this video. I wasn't watching because I was turned on. I saw like eggplant, and I was like, I'll check that out. And then something crazy was happening with it.
Can you?
It just
go
went
into it?
Everywhere.
The eggplant did?
Yeah. Eggplant was put in a lot of
places. It was like in the old Bugs Bunny cartoons where it comes back with all the country stickers all over it? Like,
it's just been all over the place. I hope this guy's a vegetarian. There's an eggplant in his asshole.
Just hanging out?
Well, I guess.
I don't...
Sorry, this took a weird
turn. This guy's got an eggplant up his asshole.
No, it actually hasn't taken a weird turn. I'm totally comfortable and fascinated by this.
Yeah. I wasn't into it, just for the record.
All right, duly noted. Court reporter, could you read that back?
Yes, I was not into it, for the record. All right, good. We have that on file.
I remember it differently, but carry on.
Podcast, Billy Eichner, who is fascinated by eggplant assing.
Yeah.
Eggplant assing.
I don't know what else. Eggplanting. Eggplanting.
Plant porn?
Eggplanting.
What was I going to say? So what do I want to do? Yeah, well, we were just picked up for a second season.
Nice. Congrats.
Thank you. So we're going to go back to New York and shoot that. And, you know, this show takes up a lot of my time, but, you know, I would like to do other things. Like I said, I started off as an actor. I'd like to get back into that in some fashion, just to take a break from screaming at people on the street. And maybe a talk show. I'm a huge, I don't know if you guys know her, but you should. You probably know her, Julie Klausner.
Yeah.
Who wrote a book called I Don't Care About Your Band.
She has a very good podcast. How Was Your Week?
Called How Was
Your Week? Yes, of course.
She's brilliant. She was part of the creative team that works on Billy on the Street. And, I don't know, working on a talk show I do with her that we would co-host together, maybe, perhaps.
That sounds awesome.
We're very similar, Julie and I. You should check her out on Twitter and everything. She's genius.
She has good Real Housewife recaps.
She did the Real Housewives recaps for New York Magazine, for Vulture. She's really, really funny. So we'll see about that, and, you know, we'll see what else happens. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
Is it weird or bizarre or scary to when you're used to doing your show for no money, mm-hmm. when someone's like, here's money, like how do you spend it, or how do you not spend it, or how do you keep the show?
I love it. I love money. It's great. It is interesting that all of a sudden this thing which used to cost me $250 now doesn't look that different, but has to cost a lot more money.
Right.
Which is kind of fascinating. And just because you're on TV and certain things have to happen.
Why do we need this guy?
I'm like, I had one camera before and no PAs and everyone liked it. But, you know, now, look, it's great. I mean, I'm certainly not complaining. It does complicate the process. You know, but also it's nice that I can have health insurance. So it's a win-win.
But now those people have to sign releases that you have on.
They do have to sign releases for the TV show, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that is a funny process to
watch. Is it just a PA that sticks behind?
We have like 10 PAs that chase after the people after I run away.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's New York, and you'd be surprised. Like, 9 out of 10 people sign the release. Even when I get angry at them or something crazy happens, they get it. New Yorkers are, like, really savvy. And it's not a hidden camera show. You know, it's not like it's Pumped, you know. They see two cameras and a crew of people coming after them, and they can walk away. You know, I don't run after people. I don't want anyone on the show who doesn't want to be on the show.
Yeah, so, that was on when we were doing a Annie Milonakis show. We used a lot of Man on the Street stuff, and it was always surprising that people just, like, people that you would never think would just be totally cool with it. It was like, yeah, I'll talk to you, or just be down. But there was times where Andy would do a prank in his apartment, and a guy would see a camera and then freak out. Like, we had Chinese food delivered, and Andy was like making it like it was a bank transaction, mm-hmm. and the guy freaked out and then ran, and a PA had to run, get on a bike, and follow the guy back to the Chinese restaurant, who then hid in the back, and he had to talk to the owners of the restaurant.
Wow.
Saying, it's going to be okay, and you just got to sign this. It's going to be all right.
That's what you got to do. We've had a couple of things like that where you had to go back and find people later.
When you go to the Super Bowl, though, you're going to have a little bit, that's going to be like super official, because it'll be with Conan. Do you give a fuck about football at all?
I don't mind it. I'm not against it. In any way. I'm glad the Giants are in, because I'm a New Yorker. So that'll be fun. But ultimately for me, and, you know, it comes down, I like the spectacle of it. I can't say I really care about who wins, but the Super Bowl is a huge pop culture moment. So with the halftime show and all these they sent me a list of the parties that you were going to, and it's just, for some reason, Drake performs at anything, apparently. I was just in Sundance with the Funny or Die guys, because they had the Tim and Eric movie premiere, which is an awesome movie, by the way, if you like Tim and Eric. I loved it. But Drake performed at every damn party, and now I saw the list of Super Bowl parties, and it's like, Drake! And it's like, Drake is performing. So they have so many people come to perform, and Carmen Electra hosts a party. I don't know what she does anymore, but she's going to be at the Super Bowl. So I like talking to those people. And I'll go up to Carmen Electra and say, what do you do? Like, what do you do during
hits the
day?
Wall. That's what she does. She hit the wall.
What's that?
Carmen Electra hit the wall. Bad.
I don't know what that means.
She's no longer attractive.
Oh, really?
It was a very fast thing that happened.
Oh.
I think it happened in 2003.
I have no comment.
Oh. I know you don't. You shouldn't have a comment. That's just me.
Sorry, do you know her?
Yeah, I did a show with her in the 90s.
Oh, I'm sorry.
When you were probably in elementary school.
I don't mind her as a person.
Oh, I don't care. I haven't talked to her since 95.
Right, fuck her then. I don't care.
But I remember her as being very sweet.
I'm sure she's very nice. I'm just, I am very interested by entertainment correspondence.
There is this weird stratum.
More so than I am by celebrities, almost. I want like an hour-long sit-down interview with Nancy O'Dell.
Sure.
That's what I want. I want to find out, like, what makes her tick? What makes Laura Spencer tick?
Well, there's a whole stratum of people. I mean, at least, you know, Nancy has a job. Like, but there are people that you see pop up and you're like, why are you in this magazine doing stuff? I don't know what, I don't know if it's a publicist trick or what it is.
Yeah, it's just like a lot of British gay guys running around for like Access Hollywood. I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. Who's that British gay guy again? I don't know. But I'm fascinated by them. Yeah, I think celebrity is just a fascinating, funny thing, and people trying to hold on to it is always very compelling.
Yeah.
As I'm sure I'll have to do in a year or two.
Do you think so? Do you think you'll, as you start to get to know more people, do you think that'll take some of the edge off, or do you feel like you'll still be able to, you know, fuck with people?
No, I think I'll be able to fuck with people. I mean, Cash Cab, he doesn't fuck with people, but part of the conceit of that show is that people are surprised. You know, whether they are secretly or not, I don't know from what I hear. But, you know, but that is part of that show. And that's been good. They air like every day, 4 episodes a day. And, you know, I think, you know, it's also New York. There's a constant influx of people. You'd be shocked by the amount of people that I go up to who say, I don't own a TV.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's New York. People are on their own wavelength. They might be media obsessed, but they read like The New Yorker. You know, as opposed to like sitting home and watching Jersey Shore. So they have no idea who I am or what Funny or Die is or what Fuse is, certainly. And so I think we'll be able to keep it going. I think we'll go to other cities. You know, I think we'll hit up Vegas and South Beach and London. And, you know, if we get, you know, if we're around that long, I definitely think there are ways to keep it fresh. Yeah.
You're one of those guys that could pretty quickly, even though you've been doing this since 2005, but you could pretty quickly be a pretty substantial fixture in pop culture. Like you could pop like that, and all of a sudden it's just like, oh, Billy's everywhere, because you have the sort of right personality. You just if you catch on the right platform, and maybe it's doing stuff with Conan, or maybe it's another show of your own or something, then all of a sudden it's just going to be like, oh yeah, Billy Eichner. Billy Eichner's doing this.
Right.
You know?
I hope so. I mean, that's very nice of you to say.
What would you do if you could do anything? If the president of Hollywood said, Billy, it's the president of Hollywood, what would you like to do?
I'd ask Carmen Electra what she does every day.
What are you doing today, Carmen?
I'm just kidding.
What are you doing today?
If I could do anything, wow.
Because you might get that choice pretty soon where they'll go.
I don't know about that.
You might.
What would you do? You have a lot going on.
I'm doing a lot of the stuff I want to do.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice. Yeah. What would I do? I like this talk show idea. I've always been fascinated. I've always loved talk shows. Like when I was a kid, I always went to bed very late for some reason. Even like in elementary school, my parents just let me do whatever
me too.
The hell I want to do.
Yep.
And I would watch Letterman on NBC at 12:30.
Yeah. Yep.
Like when I was 8, and I love all kinds of talk shows. Like I love The View still, and like I just like live or semi-live TV. I love Andy Cohen's show, you know? And I love Andy's show more than I actually like a lot of the Bravo shows. But I like live chatting. I don't know why. It's the same reason I think I like Twitter, because it's like unfiltered talk in a way. Like people aren't talking through their publicists. And I just like talk shows. So I'm excited about whether it's by myself or with Julie or someone, you know, I like that idea. I'm doing a video for, I think this is happening. I'm doing a video for, with Funny or Die is doing a series of Oscar promos for the Oscars, mainly for online. I don't know if they're going to be on TV or not. Not for the award show itself, I don't think. But I'm doing a Man on the Street video. I'm going back to New York to do one about the Oscars for theoscars.com or whatever that is. And that's pretty dreamy. I was always like crazily obsessed with award shows as a kid. Like I would make my parents go out and buy me Oak Tag, and I would make charts about the nominees. I was an only child, so my parents were my only friends.
Yep.
And so I would force my parents to also make posters and with their predictions. And they're like not, they were not showbiz people at all. I mean, they were very supportive of me, but they fed into my obsession with pop culture, I guess, just because it's what I liked. And I would just sit and like eat Cheetos and make posters about the Oscar nominees. I don't know. Really crazy. It's like another level of gay that the world is not prepared for. I don't know what that is. It's not even gay. I don't know what it is. It's,
you got to let them know. No, they are not ready.
Yeah. I'm like the Jeffrey Dahmer of celebrity.
He's just going to come out after you've read. Yeah.
We're ashamed to tell anyone about you. What, that I'm gay? No, about your Oscar trees.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what it was. So I don't know. So the fact that I'm like working with the Oscars now is crazy to me. That world felt so far away when I was a kid. You know, like you would sit and watch TV and be like, wow, that's happening like on another planet. Like, you know what I mean?
And now you're doing it and it just feels like, no, this is just a job that I have, that I do.
Now I'm like, oh, they're actually kind of weird to work with. Like, you know what I like? No, I'm just kidding. They're all very nice. This is when I start to lose jobs. But no, now I'm like, oh, well, okay. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not making much sense, but.
Would you ever want to like host the Oscars?
Yes.
You would.
Yeah. I think that might, that's what I was going to say. Like, what would be the ultimate thing you want to do? You know, just, I mean, based on like what my childhood dreams were, that was pretty high up there. But I also wanted to like fuck a lot of people, so.
How's that going?
That's a dream too. That's not going that well.
You're going to get too busy with what, like the thing that you think is going to help you fuck a lot of people, you're going to be too busy doing that to fuck a lot of people.
Yeah, no, totally. How's that working out for you?
I don't do that. I'm just not a good dater.
Right. Do you date anyone now? Are you dating anyone?
Yeah, I'm seeing someone. Oh, okay. But I just don't, I can't.
He's good at dating, but not.
I'm not good at dating. I just can't date
either.
Multiple people.
He's,
I don't know. I just feel weird, like going out with someone and the next night being like, "Hey, you're the lady tonight."
No, that's good.
Like, I don't know what it is.
I have friends that do that.
Yeah, that means you're a good guy.
I have friends that are good guys, but like they're just kind of seeing different girls, and he's not saying he's dedicated to them. But I don't think I could keep up with that many people's bullshit stories and lives. To be able to focus on multiple things.
Well, most people are so stupid. But no, seriously. Like, this is what I've learned over the years. Like, I'm always shocked. You know, I grew up and I had really smart friends and I just assumed that everyone was like that. And now I realize how dumb, like, the worst thing is to be on a date with, like, a fucking idiot. And most people are fucking idiots with no self-awareness.
Yeah.
And that's the worst. And then they make me go to their goddamn destination wedding. No?
I remember being on a day. It was like I was just seeing different girls, and I went on, and I was so, I didn't know why I went because I didn't want to, but I just felt I had to because I was single. And I literally, when I was like, "So where are you from?" Like, I was fucking over asking or finding out or caring about anything about the other person.
Are dudes tough to deal with, dating wise?
You know, I find it remarkable. I have a lot of my close friends are straight guys, you know, because I went to theater school, so we're all together.
Yeah.
But I hear their stories about dating girls. It is exactly the same.
Except like, that you could, like, date somebody and then punch them in the face and it's okay.
Oh, because right? We're guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, a lot of gay guys like that.
That's a thing.
But it's like, it's remarkably similar. Like, the experiences that straight guys have and girls have and gay guys have, it's all the same. Like, people are stupid and irritating.
and have baggage. Have
kind of deal, but we all want to, like, fuck anyway. And, like, we have to, and love people and... I don't know. It's not what I was expecting to talk about, but we can talk about it.
No, I'm just interested.
I think, oh God, I get in trouble with like gay press, but like, you know, I think the cliches about gay guys are not, everyone's like, they're so smart and funny and brilliant, and that's just not true. Like, I can tell you, there are some gay guys who are stupid as shit. Like, they might have a good job and, like, be wearing a nice sweater, but they are so self-obsessed. Like, just, like, and shallow. Not everyone, you know. A lot of them are great. But They're not all Tim Gunn, I can tell you that much.
Oh, Tim Gunn.
Did you hear about Tim Gunn?
No, what happened to Tim Gunn?
Tim Gunn, he's on that show, The Chew or something on ABC. I don't know, one of those weird new
This actually was
shows.
On TV. Just Yeah, it's right. It's on right now.
It's on right now. It's on your screen. That's The Chew.
That's crazy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and Michael Simon, the Iron Chef, hosts this program. It's very strange.
What's The Chew?
I was watching it yesterday.
You know how they canceled all the soap operas?
Right.
And this is The Chew, and people come on, and I think it's like a talk show, but we talk about food.
So,
that's exactly what it is.
So basically, it's a sort of a double entendre, like chew, like eat food, but chew, like chew the fat.
Yeah, exactly.
That hurts my stomach.
It was on a couple days ago when we were doing a podcast in here, and it was just so weird because I turned to my right, and Michael Simon was cooking something. It was vegetable day. And Mario Batali was eating something blindfolded.
Oh, it was so what about Tim Gunn, though?
Tim Gunn said he's, I think, a correspondent on The Chew. And he said on TV a few days ago that he hasn't had sex in 29 years.
Whoa!
Seriously.
Well, he's busy. Wow.
Tim, make it work.
I know. Make it squirt is more like it. I mean, Jesus. Hi-ho!
29 years.
29 years. And they asked him why, and he said because he had some, like, that guy's been gay for a real long time. And, you know, I guess he had a boyfriend or something way back when, like 30 years ago. And he said he could never really get over that guy, and that guy dumped him because Tim was so shy about sex. And because they had someone on who was saying, you know, people need to have more sex, and it contributes to making your life better, and it makes you happier. You can't go without sex, blah, 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 blah. And Tim was like, that's not true. Like, you know, he was like, I'm very happy, and I haven't had sex in 30 years.
Do you think that doesn't count, like, HJs or anything like that? Or does he mean, like, the act of penetrating another human being?
I don't
emotionally?
Know what Tim Gunn counts as sexual activity, but I think he meant pretty much everything penis-related.
Whoa.
I swear, and ass-related.
My roommates are gay, and I've never heard them having sex, and our rooms are right next to each other.
But every night, you have the glass up against the wall waiting to hear it.
I expect to hear something.
Also, they might be considerate roommates.
No, they don't need to be. Sometimes I don't know I'm home. I would expect to hear something, but they're like The Hunt for Red October. They're rigged for silent.
I heard gay sex once. It was unusually aggressive. I was doing a show in San Francisco, and I was staying at a hotel, and the walls were very thin. And I heard the creaking of like the bed, and I heard one guy like, "Oh yeah, fuck it." And the other guy was like, "I'm not fucking gonna." Like they were, It was fascinating. Wow. It was so aggressive.
I just
fucking fuck it. Like it was like just a lot of you know. I'm not saying that's all gay sex, but that was the gay sex
all
that
gay
I heard.
Sex. That and an eggplant. what was the eggplant saying?
We should turn this off. I'm very distracted by it because they just gave away $1,000 to.
Tim Gunn is out there. I just want to say I will have sex with you.
Tim Gunn, you have an offer from Billy Eichner.
Yeah,
who
as long
will,
as we can
well,
film
you're probably
it
just scared him
it.
By saying it's all really rough. That's probably what's scaring him.
What was that?
Maybe that's scaring him because you're saying all gay sex is rough.
I don't know. What does Tim Gunn consider
he
rough?
Seems very fragile.
He does seem. He's a gentle man.
Yeah.
He's a gentle man that needs some dick.
But you want...
Ditto.
You
know,
want him
don't
to
bury the lead. You know what I'm saying?
I want him to be like my mom dad. Like I just want him to.
He is a mom dad.
That's what I want from
he's
him.
Mr. Mom.
He's Mr. Mom
he
dad.
He's Mr. Mom. There by the way, where's Michael Keaton?
He's on Twitter.
Great.
I see him on Twitter. He was great in
The Other Guys.
In The
he
Other
was
Guys,
hilarious.
Oh, he was terrific in that.
I don't want no scrubs.
He did that 30 Rock. That was pretty good.
Oh,
where
okay.
He was the janitor.
Very good.
I mean, you're talking about.
I think he's ripe for a good comeback.
He needs a real comeback. Though.
Someone needs. I mean, that guy was. I worshipped him in the 80s,
yeah.
Like going back to Night Shift and just like
Gung Ho. Jesus. Is Gung Ho on Blu-ray?
And I did love Gung-ho Mr. Mom.
Gung Ho is streaming on Netflix. I know this.
Is
because,
that true?
Yeah, because I had to have, when I was reviewing the Kindle Fire on Attack of the Show, I had to have a note with legal about whether or not I could show Gung Ho. They were like, you can if you make critical commentary about Gung Ho.
Oh, yeah.
And
he
just said, here's Gung Ho. It's fucking awesome.
Well, that's the weird thing about fair use is that you can get around it if you're categorized as a news information program.
Yeah.
And so that's we would come up against that on WebSoup all the time. We couldn't just show a video. You get a week to show it.
and then you would have to license it.
And there was all that weird.
But you'd have to be like the guy in this orange shirt. Yeah. Like, yeah. You would just have to point out something.
That was always.
That is funny.
To just make
like
it work.
Like this portly gentleman in an orange parka is about to find that out with his glasses on.
That counts as news.
Yeah.
Well, why are you not doing stuff at E? Or why do you not? Do you ever do Chelsea's show?
I've never done Chelsea's show, and I want to do it, and they don't ask me.
You should really be on.
I know. For years before I got my own show, I kept calling people. I was like, how do I get on Chelsea's show? Like, I love Chelsea. I have friends who do the show. When I was on Conan a few weeks ago, it was funny. It was a nice moment because for years I've like wanted to be on her show, and she was like the main guest and I was the second guest. And so that was cool. And I went up to her in the dressing room and I said, hey, I just want to let you know, like, I'm the second guest on the show tonight. My name is Billy. I'm a huge fan of yours. And she said, hi. And so there's that.
That's about right.
I love to be on Chelsea's show. I did the Fashion Police show. Joan Rivers has been a big fan of mine. She's actually
you do that last night?
Huh?
Was that last night?
No. I did it before, like a year and a half ago when it first started. I did a Men on the Street video for Fashion Police, and E! News Daily used to steal my videos from YouTube and show them without my permission.
So technically...
Nice. So I have been on E! Yeah. To my surprise!
And they got the ad revenue.
Yeah, exactly.
In no official capacity.
And Joan is actually... I love Joan Rivers, and she's actually on Billy on the Street tonight, actually.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah, we do this thing. We play... The main game on Billy on the Street is this 3-round... multiple choice game where the first 2 rounds of trivia are factual pop culture questions, and if people make it to the third round is subjective.
Okay.
So whether or not people win depends on whether they agree with me and my opinions about pop culture,
sure.
Actors, movies, everything. And that's a 3-round game called Quizzed in the Face. And I go up to people and I quiz them in the face. And one of the lifelines, quote unquote, I don't know if we're allowed to use that phrase because a millionaire, but whatever. One of the, you know, the ways people can ask for help is ask your surprise celebrity guest. And so we have Joan Rivers standing by in a limo, and we found a contestant. You know, I was going up to, you know, ladies of a certain age who I thought would be excited by Joan Rivers. Not that everyone wouldn't be, but, you know, I'm trying to go after Joan's core demo.
Right.
And so I approached this woman, and I say, and she didn't know the answer to a question. I said, you want to use your surprise celebrity guest? And she said, okay, bring them out. And then Joan is sitting there in a limo right next to us, and the door opens, and she pops out. And this woman, the contestant, literally starts screaming.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then Joan comes and, like, stays for the whole rest of the game. And I'm not telling you, a huge crowd of middle-aged ladies on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, an ocean of middle-aged ladies, forms around us, and they all start playing the game with Joan and the contestant and me and yelling out answers, and people are trying to get Joan's autograph while we're playing the game, in the middle of the show. But it's a pretty great, like, New York moment. It's on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. That's tonight on the show, and Joan's awesome. She's hilarious.
I love Joan Rivers.
She takes the contestant's cell phone. The contestant immediately takes her cell phone out to, like, take pictures of Joan while we're on camera, while we're playing the game, and Joan takes it and puts it in her panties. Like, sticks it in her crotch and keeps it there. You know, this is like a 79-year-old lady. It's hilarious.
It's not like your vagina falls off. I mean, you know.
No, it's
like
it's still... If anything, it just gets caves bigger. In.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It's just
drier.
Drier.
Your vagina's dry now.
Joan's great. I'm sure her vagina's great.
I'm sure it's great.
Moist.
Yeah. Maybe we should hook her and Tim Gunn up.
That's actually a good couple.
I mean, weirdly, I feel like they would work.
That is actually
She would be a great alpha for him.
Yeah.
It's like a great couple, but then they say, hey, we're getting married. It's in the Bahamas. There you go. Fuck you.
I would go to a destination wedding for Joan Rivers and Tim Gunn. My chair just slid really far down.
Tim Gunn Rivers.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I love it.
Joan will strap it on for Tim Gunn.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I love the episode of Louis' show where...
That was amazing.
Yeah. All right. All right.
That was an amazing scene, though.
Yeah.
You know, when she tells him to remember the names of all the people that work at the club, and that was great. That was great.
So, who are you? Is there anyone? We're almost at the end of our hour, but is there who right now, pop culture wise, are you sort of fascinated with, or who do you think is about to self destruct?
I am wondering where Monique went.
Right.
Monique won an Oscar.
It's the weird Oscar curse.
We don't see her. I am almost positive Monique has already, like, has sold out to a pawn shop for cash. Melted it down.
Have you seen her on Pawn Stars yet?
No.
Okay.
Her leg hair has grown so large. I just don't see her anymore.
I always wonder about the ones we're not hearing about. Like, I know about George Clooney. That's nice. I saw The Descendants. Very good. Good job. But I don't want to talk about that. I wonder, like, where did the others go this year? Like, you know, that's
Do you wonder why Joe Pesci didn't make movies for 10 years? I wonder why.
I don't know what happens.
I wonder why I always have to see Marissa Tomei's tits in every movie that
I'm
she does.
I'm fine with
Although
that.
I love Marissa Tomei. I love her too. She's very hot. She likes to show off her nipples.
She does. I was very, it was a great feeling where I was like, I think I like her more now than I ever did before.
After The Wrestler?
I think, yeah, since The Wrestler and then Cyrus. And she's
hot.
She's so hot.
She's so hot. Even I recognize that she's extremely hot. I saw her as a party in New York, and she's no spring chicken, Marissa Tomei.
No, but she has that.
She looks amazing.
She has that sort of vibe where it's like, and I don't know her. I've never met her. I don't know anything about her. But it's almost like
whatever. You co-hosted a show with her in the 90s.
All right, fine. Yeah, that's right. My Cousin Vinny, the game show, and so she has that sort of vibe of, you know, it's like. Like a slightly crazy,
yeah.
Where you would want to have sex with her because you're like she would destroy you, and then you'd wake up the next morning and she'd be like she'd be carving hearts into your chest.
Oh,
you right. know,
I saw her at this party. It was like some after party for some play that opened in New York, and no one really dances at those things. It's like a theater party, and who cares? Everyone's just embarrassed to be there. And Marissa Tomei took to the dance floor and was like grinding up on some dude and was really working it.
I think she would ruin a fella. I want to take the Marissa Tomei challenge. I challenge you, Marissa Tomei, to prove me wrong.
That's how he hits on every girl.
No, I don't hit on anybody. But
so I like. Who else am I thinking about?
We know we are seeing a lot less Neek.
Yeah, apostrophe Neek.
Neek.
Yeah.
I think that's the weird Oscar. There's like that weird Oscar curse where like someone. Yeah,
Mira Sorvino,
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah.
Like they.
Well,
I don't know.
He's in Red Dogs.
All right, I'm sorry.
Like,
no, you're right.
Insist you see because there are black people in it.
Okay,
do I
all right.
have to see
it's
every
tails.
Movie with black people in it?
Yes.
Apparently, all right.
Isn't yep. it Red Tails?
Did you see what happened?
Red Tails.
Red
yeah.
Tails. I'm sorry. Yeah, what did I say?
Dogs.
Red Dogs. Oh, because he was in Snow Dogs.
Snow Dogs.
I'm
yeah.
too confused.
not overboard. What was the
gay,
boat trip?
But where they pretended to be
gay
on the
boat.
Cruise. Yeah.
Oh, what a sophisticated tale.
Yeah. That's probably one of those bummer ones where he probably shot it before, and then he won the Oscar. Like, we got to release this movie now. And it's
that
like,
was before
no.
its time, though, because Work It has really yeah.
right.
proven that.
But I think Boat Trip was really the Some Like It Hot of our generation.
Yeah. You know, that I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry's of the world.
Yeah.
Where it's not insulting at all to the gay community.
No.
I don't know what happens after the Oscar curse. I don't know if people just kind of go, all right, I'm going to take a break now. I've sort of made it. Or if you just get super precious about your film choices because you what you have.
I think you think you're hot shit and you start saying no to things and then people stop asking you.
Oh, that's an interesting theory. Yeah, I guess
or
maybe.
Or you want too much money now or your agent fucks shit up for you because you're like an Oscar winner. We'll see what happens with Octavia Spencer.
Right.
The jury's still out.
Well, it's... When is the jury coming back in?
I don't know.
They're eating sandwiches.
Spike Lee is going to get mad to find out I didn't see The Help.
Aww.
Sorry.
I didn't either. I just don't see a lot of movies until they come out on
Well, Spike
planes.
Lee was at Sundance because I like I said, I was up there and he gave this whole speech, scream, you know, like...
Was he yelling at Chris Rock or something
like that? Yeah, like he was just complaining about how few black movies there are at Sundance. And I agree, I was up there. I did not see many black people. I will say that. So he's right about that. But I mean, also, you're Spike Lee. You sit like courtside at the Lakers games. I think things are going okay for you.
Well, but it's also like, is Sundance really the right... like there are probably better places for these movies to screen.
Complaining about Sundance should be the Native Americans.
Yeah, that's the hard.
Well,
I've heard that Sundance now is just like you don't want to go. It's like it's all tourists and it's all
like Comic-Con.
It's all just
it's not like it used to be, man. It's about the movies.
Yeah, but Comic-Con still has things about it that I still enjoy. No.
I think he's been once.
Man. Yeah,
to Comic-Con I've been 5 times.
I'd like to go to Comic-Con.
You should go to Comic-Con.
Get defensive.
That you should be, well, you should go to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Comic-Con's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
I
a
like
lot
Sundance.
Of fun.
It was my first time.
I just heard what happens is a lot of rich white people book their vacations during Sundance
so they can see celebrities. And so it has become less about the movies and more about, like...
Why don't they just come here and go to Whole Foods?
Like, someone said, oh, like, when Kim Kardashian was at Sundance, like, why the fuck was Kim Kardashian anywhere near Sundance? Like, what is the point of that?
Parties.
But for
parties.
Artists.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I saw Aaron Paul there. Case closed.
Wait, is that good or bad?
No, it's fine.
All right.
It was great. It was a career highlight.
Do you like Aaron Paul?
Sure, why not? Breaking Bad, what the fuck do I care?
What are you watching? Are you watching any television stuff?
Yeah, I watch Louis. I love Louis. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, Portlandia. Yeah.
Amazing.
I mean, that is amazing. I always tell people, you know, watch my show, but if it's between my show and Portlandia, watch Portlandia. That I just think Fred Armisen. I was like, I met him recently for the first time, and I was like, struck.
And he's just like the sweetest guy in the world,
sweetest man. But that show is so good.
Yeah.
I love Portlandia, and I do like my show too. It's a fun time.
So what day and time does your show air?
Funny or Die's Billy on the Street airs. The new episodes premiere Thursdays at 11. On Fuse. You can go to billyonthestreet.com to see samples from the show and see how you can find Fuse if you don't know where Fuse is. They have a very helpful Fuse finder. And that's it. And Fuse runs the shows a lot. And you should check it out. People like it. And I'm grateful that people like it. And I'm just happy to be here.
It's good. It's really nice to have you on. And I think your career trajectory is going to have a nice... I mean, you're already doing it, but I think over the course of the next year, the more you just get in front of the right eyes, like, it's, I think you got something, kid.
Oh, thank you.
You're gonna be one of the greats. You're gonna pop up there. Carmen and I used to have our pastrami sandwiches down there at the Canna's Deli, and I'm like, Carmen, someday you're gonna be big. First, you gotta fuck
Aging
Prince.
Backwards. That's why he sounds older back in the
it's
day.
Like Benjamin Button.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
I like when you say Carmen in that voice. I don't know if you're talking about Carmen or... Common, the rapper.
Common. Common, you're going to be... Common and Common. I wanted you guys to
now
get together.
Yeah, it is.
Common and Common.
Common should fuck Tim Gunn.
Yeah, why not?
The VH1 reality show waiting to happen.
I'd imagine that'd be a boring lay.
I think that would be an amazing reality show is if Tim Gunn would have to sign on for it, but he couldn't be aware of what it was, and it was... The show was just trying to get someone to fuck him.
This is great.
And so it was just a lot of like hidden camera stuff of
It should be that should follow Army Wives.
Yeah.
It should.
I absolutely agree. Betting Tim Gunn. Betting Gunn.
Or the Hallmark Channel.
Yep.
Martha Stewart didn't work out.
So why not?
Just show Tim Gunn getting fucked by Common every morning.
Every
Take
morning.
Take that, Kelly Ripa.
It'll be like the Blues Clues for adults. Like the same show 5 days in a row. Yeah, well, they, you know, you learn something different
every
day.
If it works, it works. Make it squirt.
So we have Make It Squirt, and we have Common and Tim Gunn doing a version of Blues Clues where they fuck every day.
Common Electric could be like the Chewy.
No. The midget Chewy, right?
Yeah, the midget Chewy.
Oh, I thought you meant Chewbacca. I went to Chewbacca.
That's okay. I was thinking, let's get Carmen in there after I've said
I'm sorry, I meant little person, internet.
It doesn't matter. Nothing matters.
You know, you will probably, the more you do stuff, do people complain at you? Like, how could you say this? Or what are you saying? Or what did you...
You mean like on Twitter and stuff?
Yeah.
I'm shocked by this reaction because I'm a human being. I don't want people to hate me, although I do have strong opinions and I stick by them. And I literally don't care if people hate me. I think there are going to be people that love me and people that hate me, and that's fine. But I am shocked by the amount of people who tweet me during the show, because there's a lot of Twitter activity during the show, and I love like talking to the viewers while the show's airing and on Twitter. And a lot of people say, oh my God, I want to come to New York and have Billy Eichner scream at me. And that is the weirdest reaction. But it's great. I'm glad that they feel that way and that they like me and that they want to see me. I'm just shocked. It's just, that's a kind of a fascinating thing. It's like S&M in a way.
Yeah.
Well, it's a badge of honor. Like they see a guy that they like and they just want to be kind of involved in some way.
I guess so, but I love that reaction, but I think it's funny. It's a funny reaction.
I think it's going to freak you out the first time you run up to someone and you try to fuck with them. They're like, oh my God, Billy Eichner.
Yeah. Oh, yell at me! And you're gonna be like, no.
I'm like, stop fucking up my show!
And run away.
You can still make it work.
Yeah, exactly.
Make it squirt.
There we go.
All right, cool. Billy Eichner, thank you for being here. Twitter, are you just at Billy Eichner on Twitter?
Billy Eichner, BillyEichner.
Fantastic. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much. I really love the show, and I'm honored to be here.
Oh, thank you for being on it. If someone could tag Monique, just trap her with a tranquilizer gun and just tag her. We can track her, you know, like a wild animal. And just
no one should win an Oscar who has an apostrophe in their name. Yeah. Let's just agree on that.
We need Monique.
The guy
etching the statue was like, really?
They probably didn't even have an apostrophe.
What is ridiculous about it is that you use an apostrophe if you're like syncopating a word or if you're shortening a word. Monique works fine without the apostrophe.
Her name is Neek, but she's a bigger girl, so it's Monique.
That's
like apostrophizing Jonah.
I believed it.
That's like doing Joe apostrophe. No, like no, Jonah's already a name. You don't have to. Yeah. You don't need an apostrophe there.
I think we need Monique in our lives.
I think less Neek. I think way less Neek.
Mm. Less Neek. That she should come back as less Neek.
Yeah. That would be fun. If she loses a bunch of weight, she could be less Neek.
I love it.
I think it's going to happen.
That her talk show is terrific.
I want to see you interview her now.
I would love to interview Monique.
What's your first question for Monique?
How much did you get for the Oscar? When you melted it down to gold, what was left?
Cash for gold.
Yeah. Monique, if you're listening and you're not, I love you.
All right. I'm indifferent about you. No offense. I just haven't met you. And I
think you should shave your legs. It's disgusting.
I haven't really, you know, I've not seen a Monique comedy special where I'm like, oh, I want to go see that more often.
The queen's a comedy, baby.
I guess. I don't know. It's just not my voice. It's not my taste. Doesn't mean she's a bad person. That's just my opinion.
She was a bad. She's a bad person.
Right.
The apostrophe ad. Oh, bad.
All right, Billy Eichner. It's great to see you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Enjoy your burrito, everyone.
Goodbye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast was brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your entire Mac or PC from your iPhone or iPad. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code Nerdist.